You have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Mark, the second chapter, and hold it there just for a moment. Mark, the ninth chapter. I'm not going to do that again this time. I'll read the right scripture. I'd read the wrong scripture in the first service a couple of weeks ago. It was on baptism, but it was not the one. But it is Mark, the ninth chapter, verses 2 through 9. And you'll also find this in Matthew 17, Luke 9, and Peter, the first chapter. And tonight, or today, it's a high-altitude encounter. Now, those of us living in eastern North Carolina are known as flatlanders by others in North Carolina. Natives of eastern North Carolina are known for flatlander barbecue and certain other cultural attributes, of which, by the way, most of us are very proud. However, flatlanders like visiting the mountains, and we really enjoy seeing the beauty and the grandeur of all the peaks and valleys found in the western North Carolina and other U.S. mountainous ranges that we go to and see. You see, the mountains paint a beautiful landscape, but they also introduce us to a symbol of life, a life filled with peaks and valleys. So for a few short minutes, we are going to leave the flatlands and head to have a high-altitude encounter found in Scripture today, I hope. The high-altitude encounter spoke volumes in the first century, and hopefully it'll speak to us today, maybe just in a different way. But first, let me set the context. In Mark 8, 27 through 9, 1, we have a body of teaching that Jesus gives his disciples near the town of Caesarea Philippi. It begins with him asking the question, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "John the Baptist, or Elijah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus then said, "What about you? What do you say?" And Peter replied, "You're the Messiah." In other words, you're the king God has sent to set us free, the one like David, and the one who will make our nation great again. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Wouldn't it be great if all of us could have a religious mountaintop experience like the disciples witnessed at the Transfiguration? High on a mountain, alone with the Lord, Peter, James, and John had an experience like no other, seeing Jesus unveil his glory as the true God. However, the truth of the matter is, most of us live in the valley with its ups and downs, placed on us by our choices and circumstances. But today, let's go to the mountain in our scripture. Peter was so overwhelmed and terrified and amazed what he saw. He suggested to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." You see, Peter wanted to stretch out this experience. He wanted it to last for a long time, and he was hoping that it might not even end. Looking back down into the mountain, the valley of life seems pretty uninviting. After all, who wouldn't want to stay on the mountain like that instead of going back down to the boring life when wake up to go to work, come home tired, go to sleep, and start all over again? But when Peter spoke his well-intentioned and misdirected suggestion, he was interrupted by a voice from the cloud that enveloped them. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." You see, here is another extraordinary event. God's own voice speaking from heaven, identifying this man Jesus as his beloved son, and reminding the disciples to listen to him. It is clear we cannot always live on the mountain. But as we head back to the flatlands, it's imperative that we take heed and do what the voice from heaven has encouraged us to do. Listen to him, the Son of God. Jesus didn't even speak for himself here. God the Father spoke from heaven to identify Jesus as the Son whom he loved. You see, this is directly parallel to the only other time in the life of Jesus that it's recorded that God spoke audibly from heaven. And that was at Jesus' baptism. Almost the same words were spoken. "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You see, Jesus' identity was clear. And it was clear that he had his Father's approval. Now, lest the disciples miss the importance of this or fail to get the point, God reminds them, listen to him. I think sometimes I would ask ourselves in this day and age, do we need a reminder of that sometimes? We may not have had an experience like the three disciples, but we can listen to Jesus through the words of our Bible. We can hear the still small voice of God coming to us in prayer through his word, reminding us to listen to Jesus. And the scriptures tell us, even though we might not have had the experience of the three disciples, there's a way that Jesus' transfiguration is carried forward in every believer. You see, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." That word transformed is actually the same metamorphosis or transfiguration that shows up in Jesus' transfiguration. It's really saying as Christians, we are being transfigured into the likeness by the Holy Spirit. So in this life, by faith, the Holy Spirit is transfiguring us, causing us to undergo a metamorphosis as we repent of our sins and trust in the beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, for all of our forgiveness. Like a caterpillar entering its chrysalis, our body must one day die, after which we'll be transfigured into Jesus' image in the resurrection of the body. By then, at last, we will have arrived at our final destination. And then the glory of Jesus and the glory of God will be fully seen and unveiled. For our destination is a heavenly mountaintop where the glory will last and the sad, mundane things in this life in the valley will be forgotten. And those who have claimed his name will stand worshiping in God's presence, not perishing from his holiness, but alive and reflecting his brilliance. Then we will no longer leave the mountaintop, but we will truly say, "It's good to be here, Lord." Now you contrast this with the events recorded by Mark today. These three disciples of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, get to experience something no one else had ever experienced before the resurrection. They received a glimpse of the full divine glory which Jesus always possessed but did not always use. Rather than being strengthened for the rough road ahead, the disciples continued to misunderstand Jesus. It's like they weren't even listening to Jesus on that miraculous mountain. And sadly, this is not a new experience. For you see, Mark fills his gospel with people who don't listen too well. Mark 2 describes the Pharisees prove that they didn't listen to Jesus' miracles and teaching because they criticized him for forgiving a paralyzed man's sin. In Mark 3, there were those gathered in the synagogue and they refused to listen to Jesus' teaching about the Sabbath. In Mark 4, when he even calmed the storm, rather than rejoice, the disciples were terrified. Who is this? They ask. We find in Mark 6 that Jesus' hometown didn't even take time to listen to Jesus. They rejected him outright. But after Jesus displays his glory by feeding 5,000, Mark writes these disappointing words. They had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't listen in Mark 7 when Jesus explained that there are no more clean or unclean foods. And just 6 days previous to this mountaintop experience, Peter confessed to the Christ, "You are the Messiah." And then on that mountaintop with Elijah and Moses, they hear Jesus discussing something, and we assume that it was the suffering, resurrection, death, and resurrection. And even then, Peter rebukes him. Jesus says what he says and does what he does, and yet there's still confusion, anger, rejection, and mostly just ignorance. When they return from the mountain, they fail to listen to the Master. Aren't we guilty of this? We have the whole Bible. We've experienced salvation. We claim our confidence in heaven. And yet God continues to get the constant repetition of questions like, where is God when I need him? And why does God let bad things happen to good people? How do I know that I'm saved? What is God's plan for me? Have I been good enough for God? I hope that I make it to heaven. These questions and statements prove that some believers are not listening to the Word of God. And I would submit the decline in faithfulness to the Word of God, to the kingdom building, and to the church proves that believers haven't been listening. It's sort of like many wives dealing with half-listening husbands. Wives will tell their husbands stuff, but husbands' actions reveal they were not listening, present company excluded. I always listen to my wife. We find in Scripture, though, that God's patience does wear thin. You see, it ran out on Pharaoh while he was still living. It runs out when death claims someone who spent their life ignoring him. It will run out for everyone on that day when Jesus will come once more to reveal that transfiguration glory for all to see, and when he announces eternal destinations, heaven for believers and hell for everyone else. But you see, the solution is simple. Just listen. Listen to Jesus. Listen as he prepares you for the journey to Jerusalem, as he gives you every reason to rejoice, not cry. Listen as Jesus pulls back the curtain so that you might see, even only for a moment, the Holy of Holies, and know that the weeks ahead include a victory march to Easter, to the empty tomb, for Christ's resurrection, and then on to heaven. Listen as he reveals his glory. Christ was transfigured. It was not a mirage or a hallucination. He let 3 disciples see what John saw later in Revelation when he wrote, "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its light." This amazing teacher they've been following, who also happens to perform incredible miracles, lets them see and lets them know that he is glory and power. He is God from God, light from light. He who had no place to lay his head shows them that nothing is coming his way that he does not expect. He who so dazzled the disciples in this high altitude adventure could be dazzled by nothing. And so whatever was ahead for Jesus, he knew. He was prepared. So listen. God says, listen. Listen as he reveals his mission. There appeared before them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. The light from light is not alone. He has two great Old Testament prophets, Moses, the liberator of Israel, and Elijah, the prophet of a religious renewal. And they were talking, and some were asking about what? And Luke tells us they were discussing Jesus' departure, a mission Jesus must complete. They probably discussed the trip to Jerusalem that ends with Jesus nailed to a cross. They may have discussed the 3 days that ends with Jesus rising from the dead. They may have talked about the 40 days that ends with Jesus disappearing in the clouds. They may have even discussed the glorious day when Jesus returns in clouds to take us to be with him in heaven. The point of this miraculous encounter is listen to him. Listen to Jesus. He knew what was in store for him, and he knows what's in store for each of you. He's prepared. The question is, are you prepared? So listen as he reveals his victory. For you see, listening to Jesus means that we are hearing a constant victory song. There's no doubt, there's no fear, there's no great unknown. There is only the resurrection. There is only life. There is only eternal life. For you see, the scripture says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die, because I live. You also shall live. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes to those who belong to him, listen to his word. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Hear his word. And now listen as Paul writes, as he says, we are eagerly awaiting the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And that is the same glorious body he revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. As we begin this solemn journey to Good Friday, let us picture this and carry it with us to that celebration of Good Friday. Though not just through these next weeks, but through the rest of our lives. In a dark world, there is only one light, Christ, God's beloved Son. Listen to him and live abundantly. And finally, as we eagerly await our transformation, remember the voice from heaven. This is my Son. Listen to him. I would say listen to Jesus while we wait for that glorious day. And listen to Jesus. He said, while you're waiting, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. While you're waiting, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Will you listen? Will you hear the words of our Lord? Will you accept him as your transfigured Savior? Will you trust him as the Lord of your life? Are you allowing Jesus to change you? Are you experiencing his transfiguration in your life? That metamorphosis as he daily changes us more and more into his likeness. If not, I invite you to come this morning. Listen to him. listen to his voice and you come as God leads you to come this morning. You come and deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Maybe you're not a member of this church. We want you to come and join with us. Maybe you're not involved in a mission of this church. He wants you to be involved in mission work. Maybe there's something you need to lay down in your life. Maybe there's something you need to give up. I pray that his Holy Spirit will speak to you this morning and encourage you. Because one day, as we live this life faithfully, we also will have a high elevation encounter. We're going to the mountain, and our bodies will be like his body, and our joy will be his joy, and our praise will be his praise if we'll just listen today. You come this morning as we sing hymn number 544, Lord, have thine own way. Would you stand and sing with me?